Well, welcome again to our first service for 2015. We have a brand new year, only 4 days old, a newborn. And with any newborn, the year is full of promise. Personally, I am trusting God for a great year. Personally, God's been stirring some things in my heart, for myself personally, and for this body, corporately. And so I think this is a year to really press in and seek God's heart and really be obedient to what He has for us. Amen? Allow me to remind you of one of my favorite scriptures I've told over the years. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. And I've always looked at that, you know, the first gleam of dawn, when you ever get up early in the morning, and it's just beginning to get daylight. And that's kind of like the path of the righteous. It's like you just get up in the morning, but as you go along throughout the day, it gets brighter and brighter until it's the full light of day. And I believe that's the path of the righteous, that as we grow in God and move forward in God, that we should be doing better. We should know Him better. We should be, our lives should more line up with the Word of God. We should be more Christ-like and all that that entails. And we have a deeper relationship with Him. And I love that scripture because it's a promise. If we continue to seek God and follow God, that will be our life. And so I said for years, my confession is because I plan on seeking God, because I plan on being faithful to Him, seeking His word, being obedient, being, you know, chiseled away when necessary and trimmed and vined and all that stuff to do with that, but, you know, that I plan on growing in God. And therefore, I've said for a long time, my best days are yet to come. I hope that's your confession as well. And it is God's desire that we grow and mature in the things of God. And so we looked a little bit about it last week, and we said, we're going to start a new year, and what are we going to do with the new year? And we said last week as well that before we move forward with God, as we're hoping for a good year this year, we must deal with anything that is hindering our relationship with Him. As we look forward to the new year of 2015 and all its promise, there may be some things we don't want to drag with us into 2015. In fact, I'm quite certain there is. And we began looking at one area of Scripture that confirms that it's very important to God, and that's forgiveness. And so we looked last week at forgiveness, and we saw that unforgiveness clearly hinders our walk with God. And we said that unforgiveness chains us to the past, poisons the present, and keeps us from what the Lord has for the future. As a way of very quick review of last week, we said that forgiveness is a decision that you make to release a person from the obligation that resulted when they injured you. It's a choice. And we saw several scriptures that when you look at forgiveness from God's point of view, it's not an option. That we are called to forgive, period. We won't go back over the scriptures, but it became very clear that we are called to be forgiving people, regardless of the hurt, regardless of the injury. It's very, very clear. And so we're going to walk through today the process of forgiving. And we spent some time last week in five rationalizations we use that we rationalize when we choose not to forgive. We said the first one is, I can't forgive this, it's too big. And we said, if it's too big, all the more important reason to get rid of it. If it's too big, why are you going to continue to carry that around? Time will heal it. And we said, time heals nothing. Because we know at times we think we've forgiven somebody and we've dealt with it, and you run into that person or you bump into them or they call you, and it's like all these emotions come back. You haven't dealt with it. I'll forgive when they say they are sorry. Scripture doesn't really tell us to do that. We'll look a little clearer at that today, but they may not be coming at all. They may not even be aware that they've injured you or hurt you, or they may not care to say they're sorry. They may think they were justified, and it doesn't release us from the obligation to be forgiving. I can't forgive if I can't forget, and we said that's just backwards. You won't forget until you forgive. We'll look a little at that, take it in, and if I forgive, they will just do it again. And so we said we put up walls that hinder our relationship. We don't forgive them, that we don't allow them to do it again. And we talked about not being a doormat, not being putting ourselves in risk of injury, but it doesn't stop us from forgiving. And that's what Scripture calls us to do. And we said that these rationalizations are foolish. Foolish, that the fallout for unforgiveness is huge. There's much collateral damage to many relationships, and the consequences are lasting. So we want to obey Scripture. We want to be healthy in our relationships and in our bodies. We want to forgive. And yet we so often struggle when we've been hurt. And there's a biblical process that helps us make forgiveness final, and that's our goal for today. Most of you should all have cards that we have passed out. And on the cards, they say, I forgive, and for the following offense. And so as the Holy Spirit prompts you throughout this morning, and I think you're good at overlapping, and I want you to write down a person or persons. Just put the initials down, that's fine. Abbreviate the following offense, but something that you know the Holy Spirit's prompting you for. And you want to forgive that person, and you want to release it. And maybe there's something you've struggled with over the years. If you need more cards, there's more available. If you need to write in the back, that's fine. I wrote on mine, I put some initials of a couple different people and wrote down the little hurts that are important to me because I'm going to do the same thing with it at the close of service. And so I encourage you to do that because, and then I should have put a thing on there, but I want you to sign it as well. I want you to sign it because what we're going to do at the close of service, as we allow the Holy Spirit to deal with our hearts, and as we have confidence that we're going to be able to, by the grace of God, forgive these person or persons, we're going to bring them up, we're going to put them through a shredder. And it's going to be done with. And we'll talk about some things you can do when it starts to come back, but if you run something through the shredder, you can never put it back together again. This is a pretty good shredder. I've tested it, tried it several times, and used it in the past. And I haven't tried to put things back together, don't get me wrong. You know, I saw where your mind went. You know, at least you're paying attention. Some of you pay attention just to see what mistakes I make because of the way I fumble words, but that's okay as long as you're listening. But I mean, once you shred it, it's gone. You're never going to put it back together. And that's the point. We're going to make a purposeful decision this morning to say, I'm forgiving this person or persons. I'm going to shred that thing, and it's gone. And we'll talk about what happens when it wants to come back. But as we work through, work through Scripture and this issue of forgiveness, and I said last week, I mean, the message is available on the internet. If need be, we can get you a CD of it. But we really work through how it's very clear that God wants us to forgive. So we work through, we're called to forgive. And so Ephesians 4 this morning is really helpful and revealing in this process. Starting in verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Isn't that just the opposite of what we said about Proverbs 4:18? Look at that. Your old man, before you knew Christ, is being corrupted. It's growing in corruption with the deceitful desires. I look back at my life before Christ, and I can only imagine, because some of the things I was into and the ugliness of your heart before you know Jesus, years of not serving Christ, your heart just gets harder and uglier. And so you're taught to put off that old man, to be made new. Look at that in the attitude of your minds. Isn't forgiveness an issue of your mind so often, the thoughts you have? And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This is our walk with God. To be Christians, to be Christ-like, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so Paul, you know, exhorts us with this, and he continues on with some very clear directions. Therefore, if you're going to do all this and be obedient, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For you're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. How many will be honest to admit this morning that in our anger, we let the sun go down on it? You know, we pet these things. Hopefully as you're growing, you've learned not to do that, but it happens. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. What does that talk about what happens when you have unforgiveness and you're not dealing when you're angry about something? He who has been stealing as a believer now must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need, meaning there's a change of lifestyle, a change of thinking, a change of behavior. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We could get to meddling right here. Some of the things we say about other people, we're talking about other people, the way we justify our anger at times. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You know, Scripture commands us to forgive even when it seems impossible. We know as believers that whatever God requires of us, he provides the ability to accomplish. And perhaps one of the greatest privileges a Christian has is indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You accept God, you accept Christ, and the Holy Spirit literally comes and dwells within you. What a privilege. The promise that God will never leave you nor forsake you is proven and accomplished by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What a joy. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, of whom you were sealed with for the day of redemption. It's like the Holy Spirit is this promise, this seal about what even is going to come. Yet it's wonderful having the Holy Spirit in you. But boy, wait till you see what God has planned for our future. But this Holy Spirit is living within you. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we hold that to be true, but we forget that it's so real that he's living with inside of us. God lives within us. He's not going anywhere. Of course, that means that whatever sin and disobedience you choose to participate in, the Holy Spirit has to experience the pain it causes. He is grieved. Things we do grieve God. None of us desire to purposely grieve God. And that's why the following scripture is revealing and purposeful. It's this whole little list we just read of the new lifestyle, if you will, as a believer, and the changes you make in knowing Christ. And he enables you by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and not to grieve the Spirit of God. And then we see those following scriptures. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Unforgiveness grieves God. Numerous scriptures, as I've mentioned a couple times, tell us to always forgive others. We are called to total, immediate, and unilateral forgiveness. Total forgiveness, not just something. Sometimes somebody hurts us and we kind of forgive them and we hold some things back, and God's saying, I want total forgiveness. I'm glad when God forgives me, he forgives everything. Not just, okay, I forgive most of it, but this one thing, I'm just not letting go. See, we get absolute forgiveness in God, and we see we are to forgive just as God forgives us in the same manner. Immediate. You know, sometimes it's easy to say, I'll get around to forgiving that person. You're like, you're going to put a mark on a calendar. When's that day going to show up? I'm not quite ready to deal with it. God says to forgive. And unilateral forgiveness. Every person, every incident, every issue. Tough. But if you want to be like God, because he gives every one of our sins, every issue, anytime, all the time, when we come and ask him for his forgiveness. Now, that said, some have taught that you do not have to forgive someone unless they repent. And Scripture really doesn't say that when you study it out. They get that from wrongly interpreting Luke 17:4. It says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now, out of the numerous 10, 12, 15 scriptures that deal with forgiveness and our purposeful command to forgive, this is the only one that ever addresses when they repent. And if you look at it contextually and what Jesus is saying here, when someone has hurt you, you rebuke them. But you go, the word there is mean to go and kind of deal with it and restore the relationship. And if they repent, they say they're sorry, fine. Even if they do it seven times a day, you keep trying to restore it. But the expression seven times a day is not meant as a lower requirement than 70 times seven. It's the same purpose. Jesus is answering this question saying, I don't care how many times he comes to you, you're going to repent. I'm sorry, you're going to forgive. And as I said, every other scripture that speaks of forgiving is immediate forgiveness. And there's this continual expression here in Luke of no limit to forgiveness. And really, in reality, it's dealing with the horizontal position you have with that person. When you forgive that person when they've injured you, regardless of how they're responding to you, you're doing it with God. You're saying, Lord, I forgive them, and you're releasing it to God. If they want to restore the relationship, wonderful. If they don't, they're not willing to, they're not willing to see their hurt, they'll continue to bring hurt, and we've talked a little bit about that in the past, we'll talk about today a little bit too, there may cause some distance from you. You may say, okay, I'm not going to allow myself to keep getting hurt. They say they want to do this, but they're not doing it. And so if you go to someone, they don't repent, it does not give you a license for unforgiveness. As I said, their lack of repentance might be a good cause for distance. And Ephesians 4, as we said, tells you not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And what we find out as we work through this morning, we see six damaging emotions caused by unforgiveness. Six damaging emotions caused by unforgiveness. I want to remind you, as you're listening, hopefully intently this morning, if God's stirring your heart, and I believe every one of us has got something that we said, maybe I've forgiven, I've worked through this, but yet I don't know that I have, write that person's name down, take a minute, write down the person. It's write the person, write the pain. This is what I'm forgiving, this is what they did, and I'm going to release it. So I want to continue to remind you to do that as we're working through the service this morning. So the six damaging emotions caused by unforgiveness that not only grieve the Holy Spirit, but bring damage to you. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And when we work through forgiveness, we eliminate all these damaging emotions from our life. Get rid of all bitterness. Let all bitterness be put away from you, some translations say. Put away from you all bitterness. And here it means bitter hatred. When we hold on to unforgiveness, bitterness begins to take root in our soul. Get rid of that bitterness. It creates a perpetual animosity that is inclined towards harshness. Establishes a constant negativity in your mind. You see or hear something about the other person, and your mind immediately goes negative. And listen, we got to say we agree to this. We see this. Somebody that you really haven't forgiven yet, in fact, that's a good sign of that you haven't forgiven them yet. You see them, you hear them, somebody brings them up, and your first thought is something negative about that person. They always do this, or they do that, or they wear this. All these things, you're not thinking positive towards them. And it's you're bitter about it. You may not realize it, but that's what bitterness is going on, is this harshness. Aristotle said this, a resentful spirit which refuses reconciliation. I refuse to deal with this. I refuse to get reconciliation. And somebody said that bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. That's really what we're doing. We're not going to forgive them because they don't deserve it. And you are the one that is being hurt the most. It's a very damaging emotion. Get rid of all bitterness and rage. Some translations say wrath. Get rid of that wrath, that rage. And wrath is a deep-seated indignation. It's a flowing, foaming, constant anger. Wrath or rage is a constant stoking of the fire, making sure the fire never dies. It's this constant poking at it, constantly stirring up. Something about that person comes up and, man, it's all right back there. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. And anger differs from wrath. Wrath is that anger, but it's a constant stoking, stirring things up. Anger is, you know, wrath excites anger. Anger is a temporary excitement with an outburst of rage, often violent. It's this anger that flares up. It's the glass throwing, the fists on the wall, the slamming down the phone, that harsh words spoken in anger with the intent to hurt. And it's a reason why Scripture separates bitterness, rage, and anger. James McDonald said, when we hurt the most, we hurt the people we love the most. When we hurt the most, we hurt the most the people we love the most. I mentioned last week at the beginning of the message that I felt the Holy Spirit has been dealing with me about preaching on forgiveness for some time now, and as I was putting some things together and thoughts and ideas as I was studying other messages, I stumbled across a message by James McDonald. I liked it. I got a hold of it, and much of this week is attributed to him. I've made it my own. I've studied it. I made it personal, but I thought he had some great points, so I want to acknowledge that. And he said what I thought was great. When we hurt the most the people we love the most. That's very interesting. And unforgiveness creates every one of these damaging emotions. And the damage is self-inflicted. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, and brawling. King James, the New King James says clamor. And clamor is this outcry of anger. The noise of relational strife. It's the loud self-assurance of the unforgiving person who requires everyone to hear their grievances. You're going to hear this. You've got something to say about it. You're going to tell others about it. Clamor is a tight lip, teeth clenched. Hold still. You're going to hear me whether you want to hear me or not. I've got something to say, and you're going to hear it. And sometimes you tell other people, which, by the way, is completely unscriptural. Scripture says you got something to deal with somebody, you got an injury, you go that person first. You're going to tell somebody else. It's the retelling of your story, retelling it with venom. We've got to tell it. And why do we have to say this? Why are we like that? When you find yourself like that, it's because unforgiveness has not been dealt with in your heart. Again, we saw last week when Jesus commanded us to forgive as God forgives us, he said, forgive that person in your heart. Deep-seated emotion, those things you're dealing with, you've got to get rid of it. And so sometimes you've got this clamor, this speaking, you've got to tell the story. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander. And again, some translations say evil speaking. You see, it's a progressive thing that happens here. Slander, evil speaking, is from the word blasphemia. It's the depth of evil speech. It's not just against God. We can blaspheme God, but the word here is that you can blaspheme others as well. It's evil speaking with words intended to injure. Why do we do these things? And when we do them, we haven't dealt with it in our heart. We haven't gotten rid of that hurt. We haven't forgiven. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Malice is an especially ugly word. It means depravity with an active malignity, desire to do evil, an intentionally harmful act. And you may say, well, I may get angry, I may struggle with unforgiveness, but I never intend to do evil to intentionally harm them. You may say that, but the Bible is telling us that's exactly what we do and where we're headed when we choose to stay in unforgiveness. I mean, this is an ugly, ugly list, isn't it? And this is what happens when we say, I'm not going to forgive. Malice says that I have every right to feel this way. I have the right to do it. They've hurt me. And the problem is, this is not kingdom thinking. We start out with saying, now that you've been saved, put on the new man, change your attitude of thinking, change the way. You no longer think like the world, you think like God thinks. Last week we studied Matthew 18, and Jesus told a parable about the unforgiving servant. And he started with, the kingdom of heaven is like. And so when it comes to forgiving somebody, we have to think totally contrary to what everybody in the world thinks. Totally contrary to what we've probably learned to grow up with and the way we may have behaved in the past. We're going to become Christ-like, become like God, in that his actions and his character becomes ours. And malice is you've been hurt or injured, and when you tell your story, it's a very convincing case. When you tell your story, your anger is understandable. And we may all have stories of somebody that has hurt us. And when we tell the story, even if we told it in truth, and exact, man, that's understandable. I can understand why you're angry. Never confuse understandable with excusable. The Holy Spirit within will enable you to forgive. Unforgiveness is inexcusable. It may be understandable, but it's not excusable. We are called to forgive even when it's challenging. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And when you choose to obey God, all these damaging emotions become eliminated. And when damaging emotions are eliminated, healing efforts are restored. You change from these damaging emotions to having an attitude of healing and restoration. Look at the scripture that's before us here again. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind. Look at the switch. Look at the change of thinking. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. What a contrast. Be kind and passionate. And the context here is be kind and compassionate with the very person you are struggling to forgive. It's not a generic kindness. You know, start being kind. Do the random acts of kindness. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But the context is here is the person that you're struggling with, be kind to. Be kind is a part of the process of forgiving. And get this, pay close attention. You're not dismissing sin, you're forgiving it. There's a difference. You're not dismissing or condoning the injury, excuse me, or the sin, the hurt, you're forgiving it. You're forgiving in the way that God forgives. And while I'm on that sex thought for a moment, some say that God forgets sin. Scripture does not say God forgets sin. God does something that's far better than forgetting sin. He treats you as if it never happened. He does not forget. He chooses not to remember, and there's a difference in that. Hebrew, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, that talks about it, all say that God will forgive your sin and remember it no more. It's a choice. I mean, God forgetting something, throw it in the depths of the sea or east or west, it's still someplace. He's God. He can always go get it. He knows the past, the future, all things. How's he going to forget? He's God. He chooses. I will remember it no more. He's not forgetting. He's choosing it. And we're going to see how that can help us. Unforgiveness chooses to remember the sin. Unforgiveness rolls it around over and over in our mind. And last week we said, forgiveness does not mean you enable the person to continue to hurt you. You do not remain in risk of injury. Be kind to the one who has hurt you. If need be, keep the distance. It doesn't mean you have to be mean or bitter, full of anger, slander, or malice towards them. It doesn't mean you sweep the sin under the rug. It means you respond with kindness and not malice. Maybe you write a note. Maybe you do something kind for them. It doesn't mean you have to fully embrace them back in your life. That said, the whole point of forgiveness here, all throughout Scripture, is always restoration of relationships. Always. Is not your relationship with the Father one of restoration through Christ? Forgive as God in Christ forgave you. Restored completely. So you stand before the Father as if you've never sinned. That's what God says. Totally forgiven. You look like Christ to him because of that. And so sometimes you always want to restore the relationship, sometimes because of the other individual, who, by the way, you are not responsible for their actions. You're only responsible for your actions. If they refuse to change, if they refuse to listen, if they continue to hurt, then you're going to get some distance. You can love them from a distance. And I have found in my life, there's only been a few people that really had to happen with. Most people, you can kind of restore things. You can restore things. Acts of kindness cultivates this forgiveness in your heart. Different actions lead to different feelings. I'm going to be full of bitterness. I'm going to be full of rage and anger. I'm going to brawl and slander and have malice in my heart. That's going to drive you in a horrible way, but I'm going to be kind towards that person. Wow, what a change. It's a beginning, a different thought and a different action. Healing efforts are restored. Be kind and compassionate. There's a difference. In fact, some translations, King James, New King James, talk about tenderhearted. Be kind and tenderhearted. Tenderheartedness can be harder to do than kindness. Kindness, you can kind of, go from a distance, do something that's kind of nice. And it doesn't mean when you bump into that person and they say, "How you doing?" They're not as aware of all that's going on. And you're, "Oh, I'm doing good. How you doing? So good to see you." But inside you're like, You all been there? Man, talk about the hypocrite. Now, I'm not telling you to say, "You're a slug, you're worthless, I can't stand you and I can't forgive you." I'm not telling you to do that. But just to be honest with yourself. Be kind and tenderhearted. Tenderhearted means ready to feel the pain of another person. Ready to feel the pain. Tenderhearted, understanding what they're going through, the pain of another person. It's the exact opposite of trying to inflict pain or injury. Because so often what we're saying, "You hurt me, I'm going to get back." As my kids were growing up, I've always roughhoused with the kids, especially the boys. And they just love punching. And they could punch me. And they got a little older. I'd say, "You can punch me as hard as you want. Just remember, I'm always going to punch you back twice as hard." And then I hit them hard. And they go, "That's not twice. I can't throttle back the guns. I'm sorry." We do that. As they got older, I quit telling them that. because they got older. Some of those boys, they punched me once. I'm not going to be able to punch them back. It has nothing to do with the message other than we sometimes want to get even. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you twice as bad. And that's the exact opposite of what they're telling, God is telling us to do here. Ready to feel the pain of another person. It does not make the hurt excusable, but it gives insight and understanding to what they're going through, to their flaws, to their error, to their struggles in our life. Healing efforts are renewed and healing attitudes are restored. Listen just a moment to Romans 12:9 and following, are the ESV version. Just listen. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Repay no one evil for evil, but give some thought to do what is honorable in the sight of everybody. That's not, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. You see your obligation here? And you can see where what you're only responsible for your behavior. As far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You remember somebody to write down? You got somebody you got been dealing with in your life? Maybe you need to write in the back. Maybe you got more issues to deal with, but let's get rid of them this morning. And the reality is attitudes are patterns of thinking formed over long periods of time. We've developed these thoughts. Forgiveness has to have a beginning. Attitudes are a pattern of thinking over a long period of time. Forgiveness has to have a beginning. Change your pattern of thinking. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove that it was good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be kind and tender hearted. How to change your thinking. Don't do like the world does. Be changed by the renewing of your mind. And kindness and tender hearted are wonderfully incredible tools that enable your ability to forgive. Be kind and compassionate, tender-hearted to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. There's not a day that goes by that I do not need God's forgiveness. I rejoice in God's forgiveness. And when you choose to walk in forgiveness, you elevate Christ's example in your life. Others are watching it. You say, God's forgiven me. When you choose to be like him, you elevate Christ's forgiveness. You reflect the forgiveness of Christ, and others see it in your life. James McDonald said, I love this expression, there are no enduring relationships without forgiveness. If you don't walk out here with anything else, get that. There are no enduring relationships without forgiveness. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? I mean, if you've been married for any period of time and have a healthy relationship, somewhere along the line you had to forgive, amen? If you've got a close personal friend or want a close personal friend, somewhere along the line you got to let some of these things go. There are no enduring relationships without forgiveness. And I've seen many people walk away from a relationship just because they can't forgive. They're hurt, they got a petty peeve, they're done with it. They care more about the hurt than they do the relationship. Isn't that what we're saying? There are no enduring relationships without forgiveness. How true it is. We have many opportunities to forgive. We're created for relationships. Scripture says it's not good for man to be alone. We're made for relationships. We're made for community. We're made to be in the body of Christ, to be with each other, to fellowship with one another. Iron sharpens iron. On and on the scripture goes that we need each other. and relationships require being vulnerable, allowing yourself to be open to others. Unforgiveness puts up strong walls that refuse openness and honesty. Forgiveness is just the opposite. And the rewards are so worth the risk. God never asks you to do something that He would not do. He never asks you to do something He would not enable you to do. It may be challenging, it may be painful, but Jesus was willing to endure the pain to offer you forgiveness. Four quick reasons to forgive from Scripture this morning. Damaging emotions are eliminated. Kindness is extended. Tenderheartedness reflects God's heart. And forgive in the same way, in the same manner that God forgave you. Forgiveness is a choice and a process. How many would say, I've forgiven that person in the past, but it stirs back up and I'm not so sure now, you know? Or maybe it took some while to work through forgiveness. No one ever said it would be easy at times. It may not be easy, but it is essential if you want to be obedient to God and you want to move forward in Christ. We want a wonderful 2015. There's some junk in 2014 that we don't want to drag into 2015. And unforgiveness is only one of them, I'm sure. Forgiveness is a choice and a process. And I will tell you this morning that as you bring in a few moments your card up to run through the shredder, that you're making a choice, that you're making a process. As you hopefully you jot it down on your card, I forgive this person or these persons for this pain. It's a choice and a process that will help you with this, and you're going to make those three commitments. I will not bring it up to the person anymore, number one. I will not bring it up to others anymore. And I will not bring it up to myself anymore. See, God says, I will remember no more the sin. I'm not going to bring it up to that person anymore. Boy, I tell you, we get in a little spatter, an argument, and we pull that thing out of the bank that happened 6 months ago or 6 years ago, and we got something to say about it. It's done with. I won't bring it up anymore. And guess what? I'm going to have to tell others. You know what so-and-so did? And yeah, or they bring it up, and you say, well, I want to warn you about him. You know, seriously? The hardest one here. I'm not going to bring it up to myself anymore. And so, this is a commitment. We choose not to remember and forgive as God forgives us. And you make this commitment, and when I make this commitment, and if I choose to begin the process of forgiveness, if I fail in the process, I'm going to remember the moment that I stuck that card in there. I'm going to go back to God and say, Lord, I repent. I made a commitment to you that I wouldn't bring it up to myself anymore, and I'm bringing it back up, so I'm giving it back to you. I'm done with this. I'm not going to keep, because as long as we keep playing this movie over and over in our head, we're never going to get rid of it. And it's a wonderful process. You will never, never regret choosing to forgive. You will be far healthier. Study after study has shown, scientific studies. I could give you all sorts of examples that they've done, these major studies have done in our MRIs. They've shown changes in the brain and the heart when issues of unforgiveness are mentioned. Instant, within 16 seconds. I mean, it's amazing, but we really don't need science to tell us that. We know God's word. So I'm going to invite you now to make those commitments. I will not bring it up to the person anymore. I'll not bring it up to others anymore. And I'll bring it up to myself anymore. If I have skipped to play some quiet music in the background, if we could. And just I'm going to ask you, just come forward prayerfully. Come out of your seats. Come up here. I'm going to do mine. And you can follow suit. Just come up here. This wonderful thing that when we put this in here, it's done, isn't it? That's a beautiful sound. Come out of your seats. Let's do this. Come on up and put it up there. Thank you, Jesus.